I turn to Psalm 119. We'll read together. And we're working on the wonderful Word of God. And we are moving our way through Psalm 119. Please stand if you would. We'll read verses 25 through 32 together. Here at Psalm 119, and it is a miraculous chapter. It really is. And of course, we'll talk about that each time as we study through this chapter on Sunday nights. Psalm 119. Let's read together these eight verses, beginning in verse 25 together. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the ways of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck to testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The wonderful word of God. As we look at these things, it is interesting to me to see how the psalmist and his attitude change. You ever notice, did you notice that in here, how he changes from time to time about different things? And that's something that we've got to pay attention to, because as we look here, sometimes he's happy. Sometimes he's sad. Sometimes he's distressed. Sometimes he's happy with his situation and comfortable and confident. And then sometimes he's not confident. You know, you notice how these things change, because guess what? We're human beings. We change. But all along, as he talks about God, there is one constant, and that is God and his word. That's a constant in our lives. That does not change. You know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it was said over the weekend here at Trinity at the conference, men's conference, is that when we get saved, you get all of the Holy Ghost you're going to get. He comes in and indwells you. He's there. The issue in the matter is not him. It's us. How much of us does he have? And so as we look at this, you can see that what's going to make the difference in our lives is how much the Word of God means to us. At any given particular moment or day or week or month or year, that's going to determine how our lives will go. Our attitudes, our feelings, our emotions, our successes, our failures, it's going to be determined on what we think about the Word of God. And the wonder of the Word of God, the amazement that we have with the Word of God, is going to change from time to time, because we are changeable creatures. We change. Now, some of us less than others, and some more than others, and that's okay. That's, everybody's different. Not everyone's the same. But we all ought to seek and look for consistency in our lives. So let's look here at verse 28. Last week we had a missionary. 2 weeks ago we looked at verses 25, 26, and 27. And we saw some of the things that were happening in the life of the psalmist. Tonight is no exception. He starts with a difficulty. My soul melteth for heaviness. My soul melteth for heaviness. I do enjoy, if you like dictionaries, okay, I do enjoy Webster's 1828 dictionary. Wonderful dictionary. Okay? The reason why it's so wonderful is
he includes so many scripture illustrations to describe words, which I think is fantastic. And guess what? When I looked up this word melt, guess what verse was in Webster's dictionary? This one. And listen to the definition that Mr. Webster gave. To be subdued by affliction, to sink into weakness. And that's exactly what he's talking about. My soul melteth for heaviness. Have you been in a time in your life where you were subdued by affliction? Have you had times in your life where you found yourself sinking into weakness? You know, I love to read the Bible and look at different situations. The one that comes to mind when I hear this, be subdued by affliction and sink into weakness, I see Peter. Don't you see him? Looking upon the water. Lord, is that you? If it is, bid me come upon the water. So he said, come. Jumps out of the boat. He's doing great. Yeah, doing great. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh! There he goes, down into the water. He was doing fine. What happened? Started to see all the distress around him. The difficulty, the affliction. The weakness began to set in. And those, he took his eyes off Jesus and the strength that Jesus provided and the comfort that Jesus provided. And it began to sink. The Lord reached down his hand, grabbed hold, pulled him up. You know, what an amazing thing. We see the psalmist is in distress. And he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Folks, we are human beings. There are going to be times where we get distressed, where we get discouraged, where the things of this world are going to beat on us and beat on us and beat on us and beat on us. It's going to weaken our constitution. It's going to weaken the strength that we have in the Lord. Because these storms are going to batter us, if you will. And even in the Bible it says, and be not weary in well-doing. Right? I mean, you say, I'm doing right. And nothing's coming of it. It starts to get to you and your soul begins to melt. Because of the heaviness. Hey, did you read in here anywhere that it says the Christian life is easy? Bed of roses? It's the easy way, right? No. No, it's hard. It's difficult. And sometimes it may wear on you. So what do we do? What do we do? Strengthen thou me according to thy word. We run to the book is what we do. We do. We hide ourselves in it. A place of refuge. A place of strength. This book, when you find yourself getting weak, getting battered and beaten by the affairs of this life and the difficulties and the heaviness that's out there, the affliction. When you feel weakness start to set in. Or perhaps your things that you are sure of starting to dissipate. And you find doubt creeping in. And maybe the devil gets a foothold in your life. What do you do? Strengthen thou me according to thy word. If you read through and about David's life, you see many times he was in distress. Many times he was in a time of difficulty. His enemies were all round about him. Just read through the Psalms and you'll see over and over again how he talks about God deliver me from my enemies and cast them down and do this to them and beat them up. And, you know, he's relying on God to take care of his problems, which we should. And we should be strengthened according to his word. Turn over to Numbers 13. I want to show you this story here to kind of illustrate this idea. Over in Numbers 13, this is a very familiar story. The children of Israel are supposed to go into the promised land. They've recently been freed from Egyptian bondage and slavery, and by a miraculous work of God, parting the Red Sea and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that led them, and all the wonderful things, the plagues that came through, and just miracle after miracle after miracle. Look what it says in verse 25, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, unto Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And listen to this. This is not written incorrectly. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And then they make a supposition. And so we were in their sight. You know what they allowed? They allowed the circumstances to weaken their constitution. Now Caleb didn't. He testifies in Joshua 14:8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. That day, as that report came, as we sing in our Sunday school, that 10 were bad and 2 were good. By Caleb's testimony, those 10 bad spies made the heart of the people melt. Melt. What should the children of Israel have done that day? Gone into the land and taken it. But what did they not do? They did not go into the land and take it. They gave in. They were subdued. They were sunk into weakness by the evil report of the 10 spies. They were not strengthened by the word of the Lord. Caleb was strengthened by the word of the Lord. Joshua was strengthened by the word of the Lord. But the people's heart melted. They were subdued by it. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Another example. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Another difficult situation. I'm telling you, life is full of difficult situations. And it's very easy for our soul to melt from the heaviness But if we don't, unless we strengthen ourselves in God and His Word. We talked about strength of a soldier this morning. Look at this soldier, a great soldier. In 1 Samuel 30, look at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. It's tough. This is tough. Before you pass judgment on David, just take a second. Just take a second. Now, was he in the right place? No, he wasn't in the right place. He was in enemy country, in league with the Philistines. I mean, he shouldn't have been there, but he was. And this terrible thing happened. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. It says here that when then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Does this fit in the category of my soul melteth for the heaviness? Yes. Yes, it does. I want you to listen, though. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. His soul melted for the heaviness. For the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughter. Even David. His soul melteth for the heaviness. But I want you to look at this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When his soul melted because of the heaviness, the affliction, the weakness that was creeping in, where did he turn? To God. Turn to God. And ladies and gentlemen, and kids and loved ones, that's where we should turn. The psalmist tells us that my soul melteth for the heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. God's word is a strong point for us. It's a place we can run to. It is our strength. You know what? We ought to know that God wants us to be strengthened by His Word. 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. This is what we need to do. This is where we get to go. God has our back. He does. I mean, He was right there for Peter. Come on, Peter. Come on, this is cool. We're walking on water out here. This is great. Oh, no. The tempest, the wind, the waves. Oh! Gotcha. He's right there. He's right there. We have someone to strengthen us. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, it's going to happen, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Yeah. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what happens. So back to Psalm 119. The psalmist says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Let's look at another issue the psalmist has. Look at verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying. Remove from me the way of lying. Hey, everybody remember who we are, right? Yeah, cursed. Flesh. Right? What about this? They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And I say the truth. Why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That was Jesus talking to the Pharisees and telling them flat out, nope, you're all liars. Liars. It is born in us. What does it say? They come forth from the womb speaking lies. I've had 11 little liars come into this world. And it's true. You take care of them. You feed them. You diaper them. You even hold them. And when you set them down, ah! There's nothing wrong with that kid. Nothing. They're selfish. They want you to hold them. You pick them up, they stop crying. It's amazing. Parents, you know this to be true. Grandparents, you know this to be true. I mean, it seems like they're going to die. They turn colors. They run out of breath. The very millisecond you touch them, it's gone. It's gone. And then they're looking at you just like that. You put them down. Ah! Pick them up. Stop. They're liars. It's born in them. It's born in them. Being manipulative, lying, cheating, stealing, it's in all of us. Only the new birth gets it out of us. We got to get a new daddy. Yeah, because if we stay of our father the devil, we're going to be in bad shape. Because he's a liar and we'll be liars. But when we get a new birth, when we get a new father, God the Father is now our Father because of salvation in Jesus Christ. We get a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. He says, remove from me lying. You know, the way of lying, it's a way that we naturally take. I mean, how many of you have ever done something wrong? Yes, hallelujah. I'm glad all of you are honest. That's fantastic. And guess what the first response is when someone calls us on it? I mean, you may not choose it, but the first thing in your mind is lie. First thing. Most of the time, the first thing there is, nope. Did you do that? Nope, not me. I mean, that's the first thing we want to do. We've got to remove from us the way of lying. How do we do that? He says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Graciously. Following the law of God will remove lying from our life. And it's by grace. He gives it to us graciously. Just listen to some of these verses from Psalms and Proverbs. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. It's born in us, folks. It's born in us. Psalm 120, verses 2 and 3. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, O thou false tongue? Proverbs 12:19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 13:5, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Didn't he say that he asked God to remove from him the way of lying and grant his law graciously? A righteous man. A righteous man follows the law. A righteous man has received the law and knows how to follow it. Therefore, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to give you examples that illustrate these things the psalmist was thinking. I think the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Bible will tell you what it means, what it wants to say. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, we're going to pause here for just a second. Isn't that basically what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said, if you were born of God, you'd know and you'd believe my words. But because you don't, I know you're of your father the devil. Continue. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what happens here? Listen to what he says. Wherefore, putting away lying. Put it away. The psalmist said, remove from me the way of lying. Here we see that we ought to put it away. Put it away. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know, he says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. What does lying do? A lying tongue. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It does. It grieves God's Holy Spirit that is within you. He says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Doesn't that sound like having lying removed from the way of lying removed from your life? It's because of the Word of God. He says to remove the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Those things that were said in Ephesians, does that sound like following the law of God? Sure does. It sure does. And that's how we're going to overcome, just like we can overcome the melting due to the heaviness. We can overcome the way of lying the same way with the Word of God given to us. Now quickly, you're taking too much time. Back to Psalm 119. It's not you. It's me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of time. Yes. I like to change words to songs. It's fun. You ever do that? Yeah. The other day I was singing about donuts. I was using a hymn to sing about donuts. It was fantastic. Look at verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. When you choose something, does that show planning and consideration? It does. When you lay out something, right, that shows planning and organization and a choice, doesn't it? Now, I'm not allowed to lay out my own clothes because I guess I would choose things that don't match. Because I choose things, I like that shirt and I like that pants and like this and that and everything. So I just said, you do it. She does a good job. Doesn't she? Look, don't I look? If I ever look nice, it's because of her. Okay, I'm not going to take any credit for it myself. You know what? But laying something out shows planning. He says here that he has chosen. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In other words, I've got some markers in my life that I can follow, that I can be guided by as I go along my way. How many of you enjoy those little marks on the road? Huh? Aren't they nice? They keep you on the right side of the road. Or I should say the correct side of the road. I mean, here in America, it's the right side. But if you're in London, you want to drive on the left side, the wrong side of the road. We were driving home, a couple weeks ago. I think right after all the storms and ice and everything. There's a stretch from Dallas, I think almost all the way to Grand Prairie on I-30. At nighttime, it is impossible to see the lines. I'm going to write to the people. It's terrible. I couldn't hardly stay in my lane. Because it can't, you know, the road doesn't go straight. It moves, you know, or the road doesn't move. It goes back and forth. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay. No. But it was really difficult. And it was kind of misty or rainy and stuff. And my windshield wiper wasn't working very good. But I could hardly see the lines. Isn't it nice to clearly see the line? It was amazing, though. I think it was a line problem because when I hit Arlington, Tarrant County, lines are great. So I think I'm at the right to Dallas County and figure that out. Okay. They won't do anything about it, but whatever. But it was, you ever have a hard time seeing the lines? He said, I've laid these judgments before me. They're clear markers. I've made a choice. I've prepared myself. You know what? The Bible says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. God said that to Israel. But he also said that to us in 1 Peter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's a line you can see. It shines. Gives good direction. And safety in our lives. Hey, don't forget that the psalmist in the two verses prior was having difficulty. Heaviness, darkness, lying. Then he says, I have chosen. I have chosen, and I have laid these things before me. We need to make a choice. Remember what Jesus said in John 15? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Remember what it tells us in 1 John that we didn't love him. He first loved us. He chose us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Maybe we'll consider, why did God even give us the time of day? He didn't have to. He chose us. Remember what Joshua said, and I read it this morning. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Folks, we got to make a choice. Just like the psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Do you think there was any question what was dictating this man? And guiding his life and directing his life? No. Not at all. Neither should it be with us. That people should wonder, what direction are they going? What lane are they in? I can't tell. I can't see the lines. Oh, I can see them. I can see them. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. I don't have time to read all of this. There are 13 verses here in Proverbs chapter 1. Remember this passage? Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. She says later on, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It's choice. It's a choice. The psalmist was definite in his comment and statement, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Let me leave you with this comment. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, This is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's a choice, folks. We have a choice. God has something for us. We need to choose truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to lay the judgments of God before us. We need to choose the way of truth. We need to have lying removed from us and follow the word of God by the grace of God. And when our soul melts for the heaviness, we need to be strengthened according to the word of God. Hey, this is a wonderful book. This is a wonderful book. I know you're going through difficult times or have gone through difficult times. But God is faithful. He's faithful. We can count on Him as we're looking around at the tempest and at the waves and we begin to sink down into the water. He's going to be right there to grab hold of us. Because He cares for us. He loves us. It's the wonderful word of God.